inquiry in person over the privacy row, and councils are being promised a share of £100 million to solve pothole problems. Two-thirds of motorists say it's a big issue for them. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Jamie Fletcher.
When you hear a PPI commercial like this, you think, I wonder if I ever did have PPI, and maybe I should claim with the deadline being announced. And then you think, oh, but I'm not sure where my paperwork is, so you end up doing nothing. Well, that's where the claims guys can help. Just text GUYS to 60777 so we can call you and get the ball rolling on a thorough search to discover if you ever did have PPI. You don't even need to find any paperwork because the claims guys can deal with the banks for you. Text GUYS to 60777 now.
The claims guys.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 27th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host
is Bird on a Bike.
Hello, Miss on a Bike. How are you doing?
All right. Yeah, I'm good.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Good.
It's freezing out there.
Is it?
We know marathon is now
Hold on. When you say it's freezing out there...
Yeah.
Do you mean when you were running around the woods at 4 a.m. this morning with your Facebook Live?
My poor dog. She's soaked, bless her.
Yeah.
It was just awful. I can honestly say I've never had driving rain coming at my head and face and hurting so bad as I did this morning.
How much did it do?
I did a slow 4.5 this morning because I did my big one at the weekend. Yeah.
Right.
It was great because we had 6 of us were running with 3 dogs. It was awesome. Going along the seafront. Right. High five and everybody. It's great. I felt like a superstar.
Did you?
Yeah. Big cool. one this weekend.
But what are you doing?
20 miler this weekend.
You're doing a 20 miler. Mm. And when's the event?
4 weeks tomorrow. Four weeks Sunday. So yeah. London Marathon, 4 weeks. If everybody's out there. And there's loads of people training. You can see it. So it's really exciting now.
And what's your personal best?
3:27.
Right. Okay. And what are you hoping for this time?
If I can get a 3:40, I'm bang on.
Yeah.
That's a good for my age, isn't that?
I was going to say, yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
With
you being in your late 50s now, it's probably.
Looking amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You're all right. What do you know? What's going on?
Oh, you know, this and that.
What's the this and what's the that?
Oh, just lots of things happening. You know, really busy. Loads of stuff. I've been looking at opening Fruitworks too in Maidstone. So we're playing with that at the moment. For those that don't know, Fruitworks is a co-working space and hot desking.
Explain what you mean by when you say you're playing with it. What does that look like to you?
Well, I've got some premises, but they're in a very different location. Fruitworks Canterbury is right in the middle of the city.
No parking, can I just say that?
There's no parking there. It's a converted Victorian warehouse. It's very funky. It's beautiful. Yeah. And it is right in the middle of the city. We have 180 businesses there, and most of them walk. To work.
Nice.
Some of them skateboard, but most of them walk. Whereas the second place I'm looking at is very rural. You really can't get there unless you drive.
But there's parking.
But there's unlimited amounts of parking.
Okay, so there's a difference.
And it's in the grounds of a Georgian country house, but the office itself is very, very modern.
Oh, wow.
So three-story modern office block.
So who would be your tribe? Who would be your clients that would want to go to that space?
It's basically anybody that's running a micro business or a very small business, one or two employees, or a lot of people that we find are people that work from home. And they have two issues when they work from home. One, it can be very distracting. You know, you end up going to the fridge a lot and all kinds of stuff, or dealing with the dog, or you know, or,
do you?
Yeah, it can be distracting working from home, and
really,
and also it can be lonely.
Yes, I would agree.
So, what normally happens with Fruitworks in Canterbury is people that work from home buy a 1 day or a 2 day pass, and they come to work at Fruitworks for 1 or 2 days a week, and then go back to working at home the rest of the week, and then they miss Fruitworks, so they gradually inch up until they're working five days a week there, and that's what normally happens. Mm. At Fruitworks, we only have 3 or 4 contained offices, so we have a high churn rate. As people grow their business, they need full blown office space, and we don't have that in Fruitworks. In the place I'm looking at the moment, it's the other way around. We have a smaller amount of hot desking space and a lot more individual tiny offices. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
what's the next step for you in this process?
I'm just trying. I've run a few surveys on both Twitter and LinkedIn, trying to get a feel for people's reaction to it and what they would want. And surprisingly, a lot of people were interested as long as they could get there by public transport still. Now, there is a railway station, which is, I tried it, it's about a 15-20 minute walk, but we can run a minibus from the railway station.
Yeah.
There is a minibus on site.
Okay.
Because the site itself, the country house, is actually a residential home. It's a charity.
Or you could buy a minibus and call it Fruitworks on it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love listening to your process of it.
Yeah.
Is there any element of you that ever gets fear into, no, I won't go ahead with it, or yes, I will? What's that element that you look at when you're building this business up?
Well, me personally?
Yeah.
Whether I think it'll work or not.
Yeah.
But although I'm a bit nuts about things like that, because I don't, you have to close your ears here, Chris. Chris is an accountant, he won't like this. I don't always do the numbers.
No.
Sometimes I just do what I fancy doing and hope the numbers stack up. If you see what I mean? You know, and I tell everybody else, as an angel investor, I go tonto at people and go, you can't do that. You need to know your numbers.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't need to know my numbers. I just fancy doing it. So I'll give it a go. If you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. I'm a little bit flabbergasted.
Mm. Why?
Well, I didn't think that you were that fly by the seat of your pants.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And the reason is that quite often, and you see this a lot with business plans, quite often they're meaningless. The business plan is actually meaningless. It's just a guess. Yeah, you don't know. You know, I see so many business plans, they go, right, we're going to sell X amount of units in the first year, and then in year two we make $1 million, and then in year three we make $4 million, and then in year five we make $10 million, and we all retire, and it never happens.
Well, it's picking numbers out of the ether, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can't predict with that degree of accuracy. What you need to do is have the core underlying numbers work. Yeah, so the unit price. So if you're paying £1,000 a week to rent somewhere and you're gonna make your money out of rent, then obviously you have to make a minimum of £1,001 to actually make a profit of any kind.
You and I did this years ago. Do you remember I came up with this idea and you were like, right, let's work it out, and we worked out on calling it washing its face. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And that was it, wasn't it? It was like done on the back of a fag packet type of thing. Sorry.
But the actual elements of what you're going to do have to wash their face at the absolute minimum.
Poor Chris is like sat there. We're just two talking about business on a business show. We're real inspirational, aren't we? Sorry.
Like, well, yeah, just do it.
Yes.
Yeah, forget the numbers. Just go for it.
Can I take my fingers out my ears yet?
Sorry, Chris?
Can I take my fingers out my ears yet?
Yeah, you can start listening now.
And breathe.
Yeah. He's gone very pale.
But do you know what? I've got this thing at the minute with one of my books, and we were talking about it, and it's the very same thing as an accountant sat here. Sorry, Chris, but you are. And you would be erring on the edge of caution for us saying, look, that's not really the way to do it. This is this. And I've got it with my publisher at the minute, and you, as the business owner, the entrepreneur, the extraordinary person, take the risks that you show us. Would that be fair to say? So it's really, at the end of the day, like with my publisher at the minute, I'm on that verge of libel, slander, da 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 da. I've got to walk that line very, very carefully.
Yeah, I heard what you said about him.
And it's done with the greatest respect, and then that's that risk you take as a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a business person or an entrepreneur.
Business is always a risk.
Yeah.
Working out what the level of that risk is.
Exactly.
Yes. What's the acceptable risk to you is going to be different to an acceptable risk to someone else.
Yes. Absolutely.
Everyone's got different levels of risk aversion.
Yeah.
So.
You're absolutely right, Chris. It's like if you run a SIP, a self-invested pension plan, one of the things that HMRC do is they say, we need a risk profile for you. Yeah. So you have to fill out what your attitude to risk is, and therefore how much you're prepared to risk in terms of what you're prepared to get as a return. And, you know, that can be as bizarre as you like. Jules sometimes co-hosted a show. Mm. Her husband, Gavin, wrote a book, Frontier Funds, in which he went around the world with a chap called Mark Mobius, who's a billionaire investor, and they looked what they called frontier funds. That's places to get massive returns, yeah? And they went to places like Kazakhstan and Nigeria and Venezuela, and you can invest in those countries and get a 10,000% return. The only problem is you need a private branch of the SAS to go with you, because it's a really dangerous place to be.
The marketplace is volatile.
Yeah, it's incredibly volatile, incredibly high risk and incredibly dangerous, but the returns reflect that.
Exactly.
And it depends on whether you've got a taste for that or not, or whether you just want to put your money in the bank and earn 0.00025%.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so it's good to hear your risks and mine.
Yeah, well, so mine isn't quite as bad as Kazakhstan. It's just mid-Kent, rural. Yeah. It's a bit rural though. Yeah.
Which one, Kent or Kazakhstan?
Oh, both really.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, good.
I like hearing your little things that go on in your week.
Yeah, it's good. And before I forget, I need to say a huge thank you to today's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at All Health Matters, and they provide occupational health services. So do check them out, allhealthmatters.co.uk. The lovely folks there, and thank you for supporting the show for the month of March. We really do appreciate it.
Well, Gillian was at the Business Diaries, wasn't she?
She was indeed,
week?
Yeah. That was great, wasn't it?
It was brilliant fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. Where do you get your stories from? So you need to paint the picture. So Mr. Andrews stepped in at the last minute to tell a story.
Well, you ought to tell them what the Business Diaries is first.
So the Business Diaries is it networking? Would we say it's a networking?
It's networking with a difference.
With a difference. So you get to hear the stories of the people behind the business rather than this is my business. And people always connect with people and you go, wow, okay. So like Estelle, I loved Estelle Adams. I mean, she was just brilliant and honest as well about being a bad mum and turning up 10 minutes late and there's your child. Hello, I've been there so many times, you know. Yeah. And I love all that. And you stepped in with a hilarious story.
Mm. Some of it was true.
Do you make it up? I was going to say, do you sex these stories up a little bit?
Well, You have to make them interesting. The story is actually very true.
Figures? Did you add noughts on the end?
No.
Figures were right.
No. When he told me that I missed out on $5 million, that is what he actually said to me. But he wasn't.
Look at Justine's face for a minute. Oh, did you just see that? It was a proper job. He was just like,
That is what he actually said to me. But he was talking out of his backside.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was only $1 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I reckon.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're all right for hiring now to tell stories?
Yeah. No, but it's good fun, isn't it?
It's excellent fun. Yeah. Really good fun.
And there's some great stories, and they're all very different.
Very different. Mm. Very different.
Cool. Anyway, talking about stories, we'd like to hear from you, the people out there in the southeast of England, in the world of business. You can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BeBunker. You'll be surprised to know, Bird.
How many?
That we have had 1,943,000,000,000, but I never exaggerate, ever. 1,943,760,000,007.
That is down
tweets.
This week.
And it's down 2 on last week
that
so far.
That is down.
So come on, people, catch up.
Here, I've just seen Sevenoaks business shows on. You love the Sevenoaks business show.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
Just seen a big thing come up.
In fact, Councillor Andrew Eyre is coming on to talk about it next week.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I'm not here.
No.
Anyway, I've just seen
Why aren't you here?
Well, I'm only here every other week.
Oh, yeah. It's the first of the month, actually. Yeah. It'll be Jules. Yeah.
But it's nice because every year we say this, don't we? And you say, I love going to that business show.
Yeah, I do. It's a great little business show at the Stag Theatre in Sevenoaks. Mm, yeah.
I might go.
Yeah, no, it's good fun. It really is good fun.
Cool.
I've had a tweet from a new listener, Toast Herm Bay, they're called. And I go, hi, Vanilla Web. Hello, Business Bunker. Please could we have a shout out for our new cafe opening in Herm Bay within the Beach Creative Building with a little pep juice. Sherry.
We haven't heard from Sherry for years.
No. Please follow Toast Herm Bay. That's their Twitter handle for more info. Thank you. Of course. Follow them. Toast Herm Bay. A new cafe. I guess that's on the pier then, is it? On
no
the pier
idea.
At Herm Bay.
I don't even know if I've... I think I've cycled through Herm Bay.
Yeah?
It's not been a place.
Did you miss it?
I've got no idea.
Yeah.
I'm fast.
If you cycle, on the outskirts of Herm Bay, there's a pub called the Freewheeler, which is a cycling pub, would you believe?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's more than just a pub where cyclists turn up. You can go and get your bike repaired there and get your puncher fixed and all kinds of things.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a cycling pub.
I can repair my own punctures.
I'm sure you can.
To a cafe.
Yeah, but you could probably repair somebody else's, that's the point. Yeah.
And charge them.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's another business.
Are you good with holes in rubber?
I am so good at changing a puncture.
You missed that,
it is
you?
Ridiculous. I ignore it, Simon. Don't think I didn't hear it. I ignore it. My thumbs are so strong. I don't even need tire levers. That's how good I am at changing a puncture.
I could actually believe that.
I'm serious. Yeah. And the boys just watch me as I change their punctures. How embarrassing for them. It's true. I promise you, Simon.
Help me, Twitter.
I know, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, says hi, Paul and Vanilla Webb and the team at Business Bunker. Fantabulous supporters of our Kent business community. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out for the Medway Business Awards lunch event on the 23rd of April with Phil Eckersley of BOE South East? So book your free place. Go on to their bit.ly, link.
Okay, is that from
Innovation Centre?
Medway.
Yes.
Follow them on the Twitter. That's the easiest thing to do, isn't
it? Exactly.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Caroline Mumford, and she says, Vanilla Web, could we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for the Umbrella Cafe? It's a community cafe based in Whitstable. We've got lots of cafes on the coast today, haven't we? Yeah.
No, Whitstable is a place I've stopped in.
Yeah. The Umbrella Cafe, I think, is a community cafe as well, in terms of they do, it's part of a charity.
Yeah, it is Umbrella.
And I happen to know, because I was talking to Caroline a week or so ago, they're looking at opening a very small hot desking space there as well, in some spare space they've got, which would be interesting. So good luck with that. And anyway, the Umbrella Cafe in Whitstable, give it a visit.
Well, here's a funny thing. I've got a Twitter tweet from Mr. Andrews. The Anywhere Sim has been brilliant, very impressed and very happy to give you a Business Bunker shout out.
Oh, that's for a Genius Mobile.
Yeah. What? Tell us about it.
I've got a Sim.
He's got another phone.
I'm trying it.
When I saw it last, the other time I went, oi, what's going on? He's got two phones.
Yeah.
just saying.
I'm trying it out and it's been brilliant. Basically, what it is it's a SIM only, okay, but it works on every network. And what it does is it picks up the strongest network wherever you are, so you're never without a signal. And my old mum lives in Headcorn, and Vodafone and O2 have no signal in Headcorn whatsoever. So one of the reasons I was trying it out was for that, and I got 5 bars in Headcorn on it. So I've been really impressed with it so far.
Good.
It's been really good.
So that's for Agilis Mobile. There's your shout out, love.
And Agilis actually are sponsors of the Canterbury Business Awards this Thursday.
Oh my gosh, you've got your marathon.
Yeah, it's my marathon day. I know, 19 hours. 19 hours of talking.
What are you
going to
wear?
What am I going to wear? Yeah. I don't care what I'm going to wear. It's the talking for 19 hours. Change what?
Your clothes through the day. You know, like a proper award ceremony, and they have 5 dresses.
Why would I change my clothes?
You'd wear a DJ in the evening.
My socks and pants last for a month. What's the matter with you?
You'd wear a DJ in the evening, wouldn't you?
I didn't last year, no.
You didn't change for 19 hours?
No, I didn't, no. I did try to have a sleep, but that didn't work either.
Good old Martin.
Basically, what happens is I chair the breakfast, which happens from 7 a.m., and then I chair the conference for the day, and then I'm MC of the awards dinner in the evening. So it's like 19 hours of solid talking. And in between the conference and the awards ceremony is a two-hour gap. So I thought, do you know what? I'll sneak out, I'll climb in the back of the car, and I'll have a quick sleep. And I just dropped off, and there's a banging on the window, and it was Martin White going, oh, mate, you couldn't help. My car battery's flat. Can you give me a jump start? So I never did get a sleep.
Anyway.
But luckily, Martin has at last got himself a new car.
What has he got?
He's got an
Allegro or something.
He's got an Audi A6, and he's binned his 40-year-old Lexus. Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent. Right, here we are. Come to one of our monthly lunchtime meetings in Kent. And this is We Mean Biz. So they've got Medway groups that meet on the third Tuesday of every month at Bridgewood Manor, and that's 12 till 2. Maidstone Group meets on the fourth of a Thursday, every Thursday month, on Oakwood Manor, which is 12 till 2. Go and check them online. They are www. Which means?
Well.
WeMeanBiz.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now?
I'm intrigued to find out what this is.
I'm going to play some really, really, really cheesy tunage.
Is it bad?
This is the worst cheesy tunage I've ever played.
And who is this for?
This is for Simon.
Why?
Well, see if you can guess.
No.
Yes.
Right, said Fred, both of us together, one each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it. We was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right said Fred, give a shout to Charlie. Up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, heaving and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles and the things what held the candles. But it did no good, well, I never thought it would. All right, said Fred, have to take the feed off to get them feed off, wouldn't take a mow. Took its feed off, even took the seat off, should have got us somewhere, but no. So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea, and we said, righto. Said Fred, have to take the door off, need more space to shift the so-and-so. Had bad twinges, taking off the inches, and it got us nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right, said Fred, have to take the wall down, that there wall is gonna have to go. Took the wall down, even with it all down, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he said, look, Fred, I've got a sort of feeling, if we remove the ceiling with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through. All right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow. Was he in trouble? Half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome. So Charlie and me had another cup of tea, and then we went home. I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now, you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed. Phoenix Analysts Limited, business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today. Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Radio Show here on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and Channel Radio. radio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 27th of March with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely...
A bird.
Bird on a bike.
You're right.
Mm. Did you like my choice of
tuning? And the fact of the matter is I actually know the words as
well.
Did you?
How sad. Well, you did. She sung the whole thing.
I know.
Didn't you?
I did. I love it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good choice, eh?
I liked it. I don't think it's as cheesy as you say it's cheesy.
Oh, I thought it was.
You've had worse than that.
I certainly have, yeah. I've had far more obscure things, so I just thought it was... Hilarious. Yeah. Cool. You've got a tweet. Have you seen it?
No.
From Cars from Kent.
Oh, they love
your mate Mitch.
Me.
Yeah,
yeah,
he likes
Mitch.
You. Yeah.
I haven't got it yet.
Have you not seen it?
Look, we were just talking about this, weren't we? Mm. What comes up on my screen, yours, on my phone, all different. So let me, you carry on.
Okay. Well, do you want me to read that one or do you want to find it?
No, you carry on. You can read it if you want. Oh, I'll tell you who has said to us.
Yeah.
Is Agilis Mobile said, thanks for the explanation, the amazing review.
It's a pleasure.
This is what we love to do, isn't it? Mm. We like to communicate with you as we go through the show. So do tweet us in. Do let us know if you want us to give a shout out. And then we can start talking about you and your business.
Absolutely. Talking of which, Dragon Co-working, who are the lovely folks over there in Chatham, they've got an event on the 5th of April. And it's called the Dragons 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a business startup event. Do you see what they did there? Dragons 10.
No.
That's clever, isn't it? Dragons 10? Dragons 10?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you get it?
Yeah.
Cool. You have to explain everything to her. Sorry. She is blonde.
Here, what? Somebody else is now communicating with us through the means of Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. And
is it magic?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Tracy Ferguson said, really hope you go ahead with Fruitworks Co. Mark 2 in Maidstone. There you go.
Thank you, Tracy.
We want feedback. We've talked about feedback before, though. Mm. Before we carry on, I'm going to stop it completely. Do you remember when I was doing my cycling apparel and I said to you I had loads of feedback and your idea then was had to change for the feedback you got?
Yep.
Do you go with feedback or do you ignore feedback?
Sometimes.
That's so helpful.
When I launched Jobs in Kent, everybody told me it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said, no one's got the internet. No one's going to have the internet. Why would it work? So sometimes you have to have faith that you can see something unfolding before other people. And sometimes that works out for you and sometimes it doesn't. It's one of the things that drives me nuts are entrepreneurs that spot gaps in markets. Sometimes there's a reason there's a gap. Yeah. And sometimes they haven't really spotted a gap at all. They're just doing something slightly different. And sometimes they just haven't researched it very well. It's a fine line between going with something that's never going to work or going with something that people don't think will work but actually will, you know.
Are there gaps in the market to have anymore? Or are there gaps that we've already filled but we think they're gaps?
I don't think there's gaps in the market per se. I think what you have to do is innovate in the market. You have to do something slightly different. You have to take something and build a slightly different approach to it or do it slightly differently. I don't think it's a massive gap. And that's why I say quite often these days as well, it isn't that there's a gap. Everybody's going, why can't I get this? You know, why has nobody ever thought about doing this? It doesn't actually work like that. What you normally do is have an innovation that slightly changes something. Then you have to sell it to people to make them want to use it. Yeah. Because I guarantee that there wasn't anyone in the world ever that said, do you know what we need? We need a micro blogging site where you can tell people you've never met things in whatever it started off as, 80 characters.
Yeah.
I guarantee nobody ever said they wanted that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you speak to the head of Twitter, he never started it as that anyway.
Yeah.
It was literally a whim back of a fag packet. It was literally that idea.
Yeah. Well, Bruce Daisley, who's the head of Twitter for Europe, he was on the show a couple of months ago and he was talking about such things. And he was talking about why they extended to 280 characters as well, which was really interesting because it was based on Japanese, on katakana. Because what they found is they, when... they get lots of discarded tweets and it fills their servers up with rubbish and they get millions and millions and millions of them. And what, but they never got them in Japan. And Japan has always had, because of katakana, because Japanese is a completely different thing. In Japan, Twitter's always been 280 characters and they get very few discarded tweets. So what they were working out was people were typing stuff, running out of time and going, oh, I don't know how to shorten that. I'll just bin the tweet. And it was just filling their servers up. And that's why they changed to 280
characters. It's really eating, really interesting, because they were talking about actually extending it to 10,000 characters so we could blog on Twitter, which would change the whole
thing. It would change the whole thing. Yeah.
Whole thing completely.
Twitter's changed this week again. You now can't post the same post every day.
Good.
There's 3 days in between. And
good. All of this automation is going now. Yeah. We want it to be touching. Yeah. I do my own stuff. Yeah, I do everything. My own IG, everything. People don't want it to come through Hootsuite and everything. They don't want automation.
Absolutely. Anyway, back to Dragons Co-working and Dragons Den and Dragons 10. It's a business startup event taking place on the 5th of April at 6:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. 10 influential speakers all giving a 10-minute talk about the first and most important thing you need to nail if you're going to do a startup business straight away. The speakers are Ash Lawrence of Business Mindset, Zoe Cairns talking about social media, Amwen Cooper talking of marketing, Sally Marshall on the importance of numbers, Neil Dixon about website design, Ian Morris on legal matters, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes on employment law, Natalie Thompson on accounting, David English, startup finance, Nicola Dedman on banking, and Kate Sedgwick-Jones on branding. And everybody who attends has the chance of winning a startup suitcase. It's full of useful resources, advice from our speakers, and free stuff worth over £1,000.
Wow.
Wow. So if you want to go on that, if you go to www.
World Wide Web.
dragonscoworking.co.uk, you can find out all about it and you can register to go along.
We need to teach our guests this thing. We did it last time when we were in.
What? World Wide Web.
World Wide Web. That's what we do.
It amuses her. Sorry.
Anyway, I can't find this thing from Cars from Kent.
Can you not?
Not.
It says, hey, Bird on a Bike and Vanilla Web, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? We buy or sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Cheers, M. That's Mitch.
There you are, Mitch. There you go. There's your shout-out. He included you.
So it's no good stalking her, Mitch. She doesn't even read your tweets, mate.
Well, he included you this week.
Yeah, I know. Well, probably because you didn't read him last time.
Sorry, Mitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got Cambridge Villa. You heard of them? Cambridge Villa.
No.
They've got, can you give Cambridge Villa a shout out? Give us a Business Bunker shout out for our supported living in Margate for mental health services.
Oh, they're up for an award at Canterbury Business Awards, yes. I do believe.
Yeah.
Cool. But talking of awards.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to our first guest in a moment. And they won an award.
Did they? What did they win?
Well, I can't remember which award it was.
It was Customer Service Award.
It was Customer Service Award, it was, wasn't it? Indeed. In the Ashford Business Awards, in the last Ashford Business Awards.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what, why don't we introduce him now? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Simon Batt of Colin Batt Removals, award winner at the Ashford Business Awards. Good afternoon, Simon. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. I've been dying to get you on the show for a long time, but you're a very busy man. And part of the reason you're very busy is you have at least 2 jobs, don't you?
Yeah, I do wear a couple of hats, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Literally, you wear a hat.
This is true. This is true. So, yeah, my day job is I'm a pilot in the Air Force, so flying the Typhoon. But my other pastime that keeps me busy, sorry, Mrs. Batt, is run Colin Batt Removals as well down here in Kent.
Absolutely. We'll talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about your RAF experiences, and then because it's unusual to do what you do and to kind of run a business, and it's not even as if they're related in any way, really, is it?
I can see some parallels. It's all about service and
but true.
But I can see how people might find that difficult to marry up.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a truism. It's just that you normally think of someone that flies is probably going to go and start a business to do with flying in some way, or, you know, although I have to say, I don't know if you've ever been, I spent at the back end of last year, I spent a fantastic day at Biggin Hill, the Spitfire Museum.
Wow. Yeah, no, I haven't.
Have you ever been? No. Absolutely fantastic. It was really, really brilliant. They wouldn't take me up in one unless I paid, and I'm, you know, I am a tightwad.
It's quite pricey, but well worth it. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. They're really, really cool. It's a really cool day.
Have you been up to RAF Coningsby? They've got the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight Museum there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, absolutely fantastic. They at Biggin Hill, I think, if I remember, there's something like 43 operational Spitfires still left in the world. They own 13 of them, but they've got like 40 of them because they maintain them, and they're the only people that maintain them. And they also had some bits of Spitfire that they dug out of fields, which they use as parts of supply. Yeah. And then they had a couple of Hurricanes, and they actually were just restoring a Messerschmitt 109 as well. So, no, really interesting. Anyway, so how long have you been in the Air Force,
Oh, gosh,
Simon?
It's caught up on me. It's over 21 years now. So
really?
Yes, okay. I know. I joined up as a boy, and they've turned me into a man, and here I am now. And it's, like I say, crept off me. Just been doing it because it's a passion I had as a kid. I've been lucky enough to see that passion through, and it's been an amazing journey.
Sure. And you fly Typhoons, did you say?
Yeah, so since 2005, I've been flying the Typhoon. So that's also known as Eurofighter. The Typhoon name is what the Air Force call it. So I've been flying that since 2005, been based mainly at Coningsby in Lincolnshire.
Right.
And been all around the world to Malaysia, over to the States, Turkey, all sorts of places with it, which have been, count myself very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And as an aircraft, what's it like to fly?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It is a phenomenal bit of engineering, great platform. I used to fly the Jaguar, which you really had to fight to fly.
Right.
This Typhoon flies beautifully and is a great platform. As I say to my colleagues, it's easy to fly, which is good because I don't want to spend my time flying it. I need to spend my time operating it and fighting it. So
right.
The fact that it's easy to fly is a good thing and helps me do my job.
Mm, okay. Is it a two-man plane?
No, single seat.
It's a single seat plane. Yeah. Okay.
No one else to talk to.
The interesting thing when I sat in a Spitfire is how small it was. I'm quite a big chap anyway, but it really was uncomfortable. How is the Typhoon?
It's a lot bigger. You've got a lot more room. It's quite a roomy cockpit compared to other aircraft I've been in before as well. So it's a nice layout, the new design of the cockpit with the screens, all color screens, which are a great leap for what we had in the Air Force before. So it's a really nice place to operate. You sit up quite high as well, so you've got good visibility, which is kind of important when you're flying as well. So
yeah, sure.
It all round, it's a nice place to work.
Fantastic. And stupid schoolboy type question, how fast does it go?
Not stupid at all. It goes almost up to Mach 2, so around 1,000 miles an hour.
Have you had it up? So yes, that got to be,
it's
make your eyeballs rattle.
The speed, not so much. You get a speed rush, but it's the G that makes you rattle. That you can pull up to 9G, and unlike a lot of aircraft, the Typhoon's got the performance to hold that. So holding 9G for any period of time is quite painful.
Right.
Quite painful. Everything, you know, your neck and your elbows all aching, and all the blood is trying to pull down into your feet.
Right.
So you have to work hard to keep the blood in your head where you need it.
Otherwise you pass out.
Yeah, G-lock is what we call it. Yeah, blackout.
Yeah.
And so we've lost a few pilots over the years. Fortunately not in Typhoon, but yeah.
Fantastic.
I'd love to do that. My face, I was just about to do something, I just had to come back to the mic then. I was like, how do you train for that? How does your body, it's very easy to say, obviously you take you try and keep the blood at the head, but physiology, how do you train your body to sustain that level of fitness?
I think part of it is conditioning. You don't go from walking on the street thinking this is a good idea to the next day the Air Force drop you in the Typhoon. So you have this progressive training and you move up through the different aircraft, so your body and your physiology, easy for me to say, develops, and you become inverted commas match fit. And we've got some amazing kit that we wear that, you know, really helps. So you have the G pants, which probably everyone is relatively familiar with.
G pants.
Squeeze your legs. Yeah, it's a great name, isn't it?
Next birthday.
That's it.
I'm going to buy you G pants.
But then for Typhoon, the new stuff, so the G pants inflate to squeeze your legs to keep the blood in your abdomen. We've gone one step further, and you have your life jacket also squeezes your lungs to keep, because obviously we've got massive pecs, as you can see in the radio here, and big arms. Perhaps not. But to keep again more blood in your head. But the problem that gives you, if you're squeezing your chest, it's difficult to breathe.
For
so
sure.
At the same time, they pump pressurized air into your lungs, so you get squeezed from your lungs out and your chest in. So that's all designed to help keep the blood in your head. And it's actually, compared to previous aircraft, a relatively comfortable place to operate 5 or 6G. You know, you don't really notice it once you're in the environment.
Right. Okay.
9G, as I said, is a different kettle of fish.
Cool. So what's next for you?
In the Air Force, I've just had a great honour. I've been selected to set up a new Typhoon squadron, so we're just expanding the Typhoon force. So in September, I'll be going up to Lossiemouth and creating a new squadron from scratch. So
okay.
Looking at recruiting and all sorts of
things. And what will be the role of that squadron? Do you know? Can you tell us?
It will be a standard frontline squadron. So
right.
We'll be doing all the tasks that the other squadrons do, so air defence, ground attack. So we'll be put on reaction, so we'll be based at 24/7 readiness to defend the UK airspace. We'll deploy overseas on defence engagement, or if required, to project, as we say, project force.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Simon. So that brings us to Shifting Pianos with Fred and having a cup of tea occasionally. So tell us how this juxtaposition of conning back removals came about.
Yeah, it's not a natural bedfellow, but I grew up in the business. My father started the business in 78. And so I grew up on the back of lorries, moving pianos, moving furniture, and my boyhood dream was to fly. So off I went to pursue that, and I've been fortunate to do that. But my dad kept the business going, and then my sister joined for a bit, and then in 2012 they were looking to close the business, so looking to sell it on. And I had a look at it, did a back of the fact packet, look at the numbers, obviously implicitly knew the business. I thought there's something here that I can do, but because I'm also working in the Air Force, there's a bit of risk there. So and I didn't want to have any of the family involved in that, me dragging them down. So we came to an agreement. I bought the business out. So since 2012, I fly planes during the day, and in the evening I
move pianos.
Yeah, exactly. I try not to mix the two.
But yeah. Forget where you are.
Yeah, well, right, and the piano doesn't quite fit in the plane.
Or wearing the G pants.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he probably wears a G-pants while he's moving pianos.
Your fitness, that you don't get any back problems at all.
Save your hernias that way, do you?
Amazing.
I've made reference a few times to pianos, and I guess we ought to quantify that, because you do shift pianos, don't you?
Yeah, we do house removals, which is sort of bread and butter. So you've probably seen us around the county, but we specialise and have since day one in piano removals.
Right.
So we move all sorts of pianos, be it a basic upright or a grand, and we're probably one of two or three companies in the country that have the full skill set to do it. And we've moved pianos for Elton John, for the Queen.
Wow.
We even moved Beethoven's original piano that he did his compositions on on a European tour, which is fantastic. But that piano was priceless. You know,
I was going to say, was he happy?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I hope so. Yeah, it was a fantastic tour, and it was amazing to be part of that.
How did you get into specialising in piano movements?
My father is originally a farmer, is a strong lad at the time, and so this guy who was doing piano removals at the time wanted a strapping young lad to help him out, and he helped him out. And then my dad realised there was more money in this than in farming, so he moved across, and that's what he did, and he started the business moving pianos on his own. I mean,
right. So did the business originally start as a specialist piano mover?
Yeah.
And then moved into house movers?
Correct, very quickly, but we started off as a piano specialist.
Right, okay.
The very get-go.
Ah, fantastic. That's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
And we were talking off air before the start of the show, because Bird has an interest in pianos.
I do.
Mm. And you were saying you've got a warehouse full.
Yeah, so we've got over at our site, we've got a big store where we do all sorts of storage, container storage, which is for office furniture and domestic furniture. But we've also got two types of piano storage we offer. One is a vanilla warehouse that you would know and understand, but we also have got a climate controlled facility where we maintain the perfect humidity and temperature to keep the instruments in perfect condition.
Right. Okay.
A lot of places that say they've got climate controlled only maintain the right temperature, but it actually, for antiques, art and pianos, it's the humidity that's actually the important thing to maintain. So we offer that, and we've got that full of pianos. We've got about 60 or 70 of them at the moment for different people.
So is that people that have run out of space to keep their piano, or
mainly commercial, so for businesses that buying and selling and stuff. But we also do maintain some for pianists and some for people who bought a piano, have had to move, have run out of space, or life changes.
Yeah.
So we've got a real mixture.
Right, okay, cool.
I mean, like I say, uprights to concert grands, you come down and have a look.
Yeah, oh, fantastic. That's really cool.
I'm going down.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's really interesting. Yeah, I'm on a piano kick at the moment because I went and interviewed the lovely folks at Finchcocks a couple of weeks ago that are just refurbishing Finchcocks House, and they've built a piano school there, which is fantastic. They've got 8 grand pianos in practice rooms in the cellars. Absolutely fabulous. Really worth a visit. Really That's cool place.
In the previous incarnation of it, we used to do a lot of work for them and help them move out. And I think through your radio show and chatting to them on Twitter, I think we might be able to help them out. They've got a couple of piano moves, so I think we'll be helping them out soon.
Fantastic. Wow. Oh, that's really good. Oh, cool. Now then, I first met you, Simon, back at the Ashford Business Awards last year when your firm won a very well-deserved customer service award.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about that. Tell us about what inspired you to enter for the award and how that has impacted on what you've done in your business.
So I wanted to enter because we get some great customer feedback on our service, which is amazing, but that can be quite introspective if you're only listening to your customers. Mm. You might not, other companies might be getting better, a new changes in industry or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to try and get some external accreditation, for want of a better phrase, on our business to make sure that we are staying at the top end of the game and leading the industry.
Mm.
So I went to apply for the awards as part of that. And also, you know, what a great way to, if we did win, unfortunately we did, you know, to recognize the great efforts of the team, because it's what they do day in, day out that matters. We are a service-based company. We move people's stuff. I mean, I think it's a great honor when you're asked into someone's house to move their prized possessions, their whole world, you know, we get responsibility for to move around. So we take that responsibility very, it's a weight we bear, because
Absolutely.
It's a very important responsibility. So it was great. That's why I applied. And I mean, it was brilliant because we went through application, got shortlisted. And then on the night, self announced that we'd won the award, which is brilliant. I was so pleased to get that recognition. Mm. So pleased that not only our customers and we think we do a good job, but some independents also came and went, yeah, you've got
Absolutely.
To do what you do. And it's all about customer service.
Absolutely. And funnily enough, with you talking about that, it was probably about 18 months, maybe even 2 years ago now. I came across someone, on social media who contacted me and said, could you help us? Because I've got quite a large following around the radio station. Could you tweet out a picture of this, transit van? Yeah, why? And I went, well, what happened was we were moving house and we thought that removal companies were a bit expensive. And then we found a bloke with a van. And he came along and put our stuff in his van, and we've never seen him since.
Yeah, there's a few stories like that. Unfortunately, you know, there's always the white man who's perhaps not insured, unregulated.
Yeah.
You don't know where he's from.
Yeah.
So the awards help us sell our quality.
Yeah.
We're also members of the British Association of Removers, which set a high bar for everything we do to try and.
And you're fully insured, as you say, Absolutely. So if anything accidentally gets dropped or broken and all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
Yes, Bert.
Please. Two questions. First would be, how do you keep a feel to the business when you're CEO or MD or it's your business and you're not there full time?
He flies over it a lot.
Do you imagine?
I think sort of 15 years ago, I wouldn't be able to do it in the environment I am, but I've structured the business and how we operate to allow me to work from afar. So with files online, I can look at all the files, I can interact with the system, we can communicate via Skype, email, so I can be contacted anywhere. And it, proof of the pudding was I did a year-long detachment in the Falklands, which is 8,000 miles away, and I was still able to run the business from down there. So that new technology has really helped.
Mm. Yeah. Technology is a big enabler, isn't it, for things like that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the second question would be the awards for customer service. What is it that you're doing so right?
Not one thing, I don't think. And clearly, I've got a perspective on it and what I think. But we have the customer at the forefront of our mind from the minute go, and we try and make it as easy for the customer from the first phone call to when they unpack the last box, and try and plan everything to make it as stress-free and as easy. Now, I'm sure everyone else says that, but behind that drives everything we do, from the equipment we purchase. We train a lot, and that's one of the things I've brought from the military way of life into my business. Is I think we're probably the only business I know that take a day out every month to train, to make sure that all of the staff have got the right skills, and we train periodically as a whole team as well, so that everyone in the office, the surveyor, the storeman, all the porters know everything that goes on in the business and can therefore step in, help out, and can put the end-to-end package together in the right way. And we're obviously doing something right. You know, we've got the customer service award. We've literally yesterday found out we've just been shortlisted as one of three finalists for the Domestic Mover of the Year award.
And this is a national award.
That's right, yeah. So yeah, for the British Association of Removers national award, hundreds of companies in that association, we're now one of three for the, in that final.
So I mean, that in itself is just amazing. Mm. If anything else on top of that, it's just a bonus.
Exactly, so, exactly.
A fantastic, and many congratulations. And I can understand, you know, having moved a few times myself, you sometimes you get removal companies and you just don't feel that they care very much, you know, that you're thinking, well, hold on a minute, don't throw that about, you know, it's my prize sofa or it's my best chair or whatever, and they go, ah, that's all right, you think, oh, I don't like that.
Here's just and it's just only because it happened to me yesterday. I think I had carpets fitted, and this sounds ridiculous, but it's for me, it was what I wanted as an ease, so they didn't turn up when they said they would turn up, which is time for me is the most valuable concept for me. Then the thing was, they did it. They did the job and it was fine. But you know what? You don't realise, and you're going to go, oh my God, but it's something so simple, but I'm going to put this back into my business now, is the carpets they left, which were fitted beautifully, I then had to spend an hour hoovering.
Yeah.
Now, they could have probably had an industrial hoover, I'm not being funny, taken 10 minutes. I promise you, I would never have gone to any other company again because of the service they had given me over and beyond anything.
Yeah.
My expectations, everything. I would have been like, I'll pay you double because what you gave me was invaluable.
It's a pride in the job that you've done that says, we're going to leave this in pristine condition. Yeah.
And they just went, there you go. Oh, you've got a hoover now, love. And I looked at them and I thought, doesn't matter how well you fitted them, that's not a value to me. Does that make sense?
It does to me. And we try and go above and beyond. Our motto is where service is key, and try and drive that ethos through. But I also think it's important that we listen to the customer and deliver what they want. Another customer may not want us to hoover. So we try and listen, try and extract what they want and deliver exactly what they want, be it a house removal or we do document archive. Different companies want different access, they want different support, and we just try and tailor everything to what the customer wants.
But my expectation wasn't that. I thought I was going to have these carpets fitted, and you didn't realise it, and there was going to... And I've had millions of carpets fitted, but you don't remember that service.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, if you had just done that, I you've got me for life then.
Yeah, little things.
So interesting.
And that's the whole point about being smart in business, isn't it? And it's exactly what Simon's saying is, not everybody wants the same thing.
No.
It's about understanding your customer and trying to work out what it is they want and trying as best you can to deliver against that so that their expectations are met. You can't always do that, obviously, because some people really over-demand. But at the end of the day, you can walk away with pride in a job, and that's a crucial thing. And I think it's that normally tips the balance into being recognised as good customer service. It's when you do that little bit extra, It's not about doing what you said you were going to do, because people expect that because that's what they paid you to do, basically.
Absolutely right. I didn't expect to have to hoover my new carpets. That sounds really odd.
Yeah.
And something so simple and maybe even, were you just having a blonde moment? Not at all. You know, I just was like, wow, if only you'd done that in your business. Okay, thank you, because I'll put that in mine now.
Yeah, absolutely. Simon, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you about your fascinating dual careers. If people want to find out more about Colin Batt Removals, I mean, I'm sure they want to find out more about the planes, but they can't. Colin Batt Removals, what's the best way to do it? What's your website?
Our website is www.colinbattremovals.co.uk.
That's Bat with a double T.
Indeed. And you can find us on Twitter at Bat Removals, again with a double T. And we're on Facebook as well. Our phone number is 01233 740395.
Fantastic. Simon, thank you so much. The website is actually on the Kent Business Radio website as well, and it will be there forever. If you need it, just come and look at today's show, show number 370, and the link is there. For the moment, Simon, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to us. We wish you much luck in the National Awards. When is it? When's the awards?
Thanks for having us on board. And the awards are announced at the gala dinner on the 19th of May. So we're dusting off our dicky bows now.
Fantastic. Where's that taking place?
Down in Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, okay. By the seaside.
Nice.
It's almost your neck of the woods, isn't it?
No, it's nowhere near it. It's
pirate
country.
It's on the way to Plymouth, isn't it?
Nowhere near it.
Yeah, he's more lovely.
I'm sorry, Simon. Carry on.
It's down there somewhere.
It's not the West Country, is it?
No,
Bournemouth
I know.
It's not the West Country.
It's not Plymouth. No, you're right. Yeah.
There we go.
It's on the way, though.
Carry on. Apparently, everybody's loving the show, by the way. They've loved your interview.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you so much, Simon. Thank you for that.
Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
A pleasure. Do stay with us for the rest of the show, and do feel free to join in. Have you got anything you want to read? I've got a tweet.
Do it.
From Kent Creative. They say, Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show for our Kent Creative Connect event on the 20th of April about marketing with a focus on creatives and creating a marketing plan for creatives, creating a communications, press releases and social media. And there's presentations and a mini workshop. And you can find out about it by going to their website, which is kentcreativearts.co.uk.
Awesome. Well, we've got loads of feedback just from that interview. This is how quick it happened, Simon. It's like finger is on the button. So Mark Goldfinch, thank you so much at Drive Your Mark. Says, yes, fascinating stories. Great interview. Tracy Ferguson, big shout out to you, my darling. Lovely to see you at the Business Diaries last week. Really enjoying Business Bunker interview with Vanilla Web and me, Burden Bike. Fantastic history of the business and your flying career too, Simon. So it's already coming through. So excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
We've also had a tweet from the Business Diaries. Greetings, Business Bunker. Big thanks to you, Vanilla Web and Bird, for support of the Business Diaries. It was a fab evening. Hope you enjoyed it. We're launching the Business Diaries Tunbridge Wells, and that launches on the 26th of April at the Hotel De Vin in Tunbridge Wells. So do get along, and you can follow...
De Vin?
De Van.
Thank you.
Bonjour.
He did that face, didn't he? Like,
ugh. What, Monge too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your spinner jet have been on, we love a bit of Dan, don't we?
We do.
How is he? I never hear from him. Do you ever hear from
he's
him?
He's so busy. To me. He's due at my place tomorrow.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'll say hello to him. Dan, this is shout out for you. So this is Spinner Jet again. They're all saying about your interview today. So yeah, it's all coming through.
Fantastic. Anyway, as I was saying before Bird interrupted, you can follow the new Business Diaries at Tunbridge Wells on their Twitter handle, which is The Biz Diaries, Biz with a Z. TW, The Biz Diaries, TW. And their event is on the 26th of April at the Hotel De Vin. Mange too.
Apologies, I thought you'd finished.
That's all right. Don't worry, you can interrupt me.
Anytime. Who's put this? 28th with an RD. I love that. It makes me go, 20-yard. 23rd of March, Canterbury, coffee with a delegation of French businesses at the Canterbury Innovation Centre. And this is at 3 o'clock. That's today, isn't it?
What?
No, tomorrow, 28th.
Mañana.
That's with email Paul Spree at paul.spree@canterbury.gov.uk for your bookings. That's
fantastic.
Creativity with purpose.
I've got an email here. It says, hi, Paul. I've just set up 4 dates and I will sort some more, but this will be a good start. We're doing 2x2-hour GDPR intros on the 27th of April and the 14th of May, and 2x1-day GDPR intro and preparation on the 18th of May and the 25th of May. And here's the site where you can find out about it and book your place. thegdrpeople.co.uk/booktoday. And that's from Daryl Lynham.
Do you want me to sing this next bit?
Yeah, go for it.
Jobsinkent.com.
Thank you.
That's right. This is the hub is here, launched just for you. It's because it's one of my jingles on my radio show, and I just think it's hilarious. We're offering the best
people
career.
Used to sing that to me in the street.
Did they? It's a great
they
jingle.
Come up to me and sing. It drove me nuts. I hated the advert, but people used to sing it to me in the street.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Drives me mad on my radio show as well,
I
support you. That's
Thank
all
you.
I can say. Videos, CV analysis, talent matching, and the chance to win some cool prizes. Check them out on
www.jobsinkent.com. Yeah, we just launched that, actually.
What's that?
The hub.
Yeah, I've just realised you should get me to do your jingle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just say, do you know what? It's really good. I had a really amazing email yesterday or a couple of days before from University of Kent, one of the journalists. in his final year, students asking, can he come in to the show? And he'd heard about The Conversation and how it was just the best show on channelradio.co.uk.
Hold on a minute, hold on. Yeah.
And he wanted to come in and he sent his CV. I've got to say, it's one of the best CVs I've seen in a long, long time.
Really, cool.
Really changed it around, totally different. The only thing he did miss on it, I want to know a bit more personal about him.
Right.
You know, it was like, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'm like, wow, excellent. What do you love to do?
Absolutely. It's funny. It's one of the things I talk about when we do the 30-30 program in schools. I take a program into schools talking about the world of work. And it's one of the things we talk about is careers teachers and their penchant for doing personal statements on CVs and the fact that businesses hate them with a vengeance because they're all the same. They'll say, I'm a team player capable of working on my own.
Not bothered.
Basically.
We don't even read it, do you? If you're really honest, you like...
Whatever.
The mist comes in.
Yeah, whatever. You need evidence about what your talents are. Not just a snappy saying. Cool. Well, do you know what? We're going to join Lucy in the Channel Radio newsroom. So here we go.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News.